Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. You know, our stock market is doing great because our president has gotten a deal done with China when it comes to trading. That was a big issue with our stock market when you saw it go down a little bit. You know, people said, well, President Trump is threatening the Chinese when it comes to trade. And all he ever said was, you know, they're ripping us off. And he wanted to make it a good deal for both countries. And that's what's been happening. And boy, our stock market is just, it's higher than it's ever been. It's incredible. And it's nice that the trade relationship between the United States and China is working out, and it's one of the main reasons why the stock market is so high.
So I wish I understood more about the stock market, because I feel like this is the time to capitalize, or should I wait till it crashes again and then put all my money in?
My
grandma sent me $5 for Christmas, so I wanted to turn it into maybe 10.
That's a great question. When we're higher than we've ever been, you wonder. I don't care who's in doing what. At some point, it's going to hit a wall and go down again. I couldn't tell you that. If I knew, I probably wouldn't be getting up every morning at 4 o'clock to go to work, you know?
That's a good point.
But the reason I brought this up is because China's communist. You know, communist China. And they're communists over there. And, you know, we have a lot of college kids in this country. They dream of socialism. They think it's the greatest. We won't have to pay for our college, our debts. We could just sweep them under the rug. And here's I was just reading this.
That was a pretty good little Bernie Sanders you had going on there.
I was just reading for those Chinese men who are in the Chinese military and decide they want to quit. Do you know what happens to them?
Yeah, they disappear. They go away.
I thought that,
they're
too.
They're not seen anymore.
Not right off the bat.
No.
Not right off the bat. Here's what happens. If you're in the Chinese military and you decide...
Don't they go to attitude readjustment?
You decide to quit. Well, what's your definition of attitude?
Well...
And readjustment. Here's the first thing they do to you. A 2-year ban on foreign travel. So you can't leave China for 2 years. You cannot leave.
I thought you couldn't leave anyway, man.
Well, this is if you're in the Chinese military and you decide just to quit. 2-year ban on foreign travel. You will no longer be allowed to travel within China on airplanes for a long time. You won't be able to travel in China on trains or buses for a long time. You won't be able to buy real estate in China. If you're a Chinese guy and you decide to quit their military, you can't get a loan or you can't get insurance for anything. You are not allowed to operate a business. You're not allowed to enroll or study in college or secondary school.
What you're reading from there, when it says long time, does it have that in quotes? Because that's pretty open-ended if you think about it.
But all of those things.
Oxygen, you not have oxygen for a long time.
You'd probably want what you suggested in the beginning of this just to disappear because you can't do anything if you're a Chinese guy and you decide to quit the Chinese military. I just it's amazing how our two countries are pretty much dictating the stock market, not just here but all over the world. Because when the United States Chinese trade problems were happening, the stock market in Europe was struggling, and the stock market. So it's interesting how our country, along with communist China, what we say and what we do has such an immense effect on money all over the all over the globe.
Right.
But, I was just reading that about what happens to you if you want to quit the Chinese military. You might as well stay miserable and stay in.
Red China is both fascinating and, I think, rather scary all at the same time. I've told you that it works out this way, that you take into account all the people on planet Earth. One out of every nine persons on planet Earth is a Chinese female. And I think her name is Courtney.
Here on Bayou 95.7.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show, and what a night, a historic night, another historic night in the great city of New Orleans last night as Drew Brees broke New Orleans native Peyton Manning's record for the most touchdown passes ever thrown in the history of the National Football League. Not only that, Drew Brees broke another record last night. He completed 29 out of his 30 passes. No one's ever done that before. And that's the highest passing completion rate in NFL history. So why just break one? Why just break one record when you can break two? So, and by the way, that wasn't even a game last night. I don't even know why the Colts got on an airplane and flew down here. They didn't even come close to competing. And now the Saints are looking good. Tom Brady, the quarterback of the Patriots, is right behind Drew Brees and Peyton Manning when it comes to touchdown passes. But I think you're going to see Drew Brees pull away from him because the New England Patriots offense this year, they're horrible. They're not good at all.
Tom Brady doesn't have the tools to throw to like he used to have.
He never had a lot of big names. If you look at his 20-year career, like for a couple of years he had Randy Moss, but other than that, Tom Brady never really had great wide receivers. But this year he has pretty much nothing. What a great night! And now all the Saints can hope for is they win their last two games. And they need one of two things to happen. They need the Minnesota Vikings to beat the Green Bay Packers this weekend. Or they need the Seattle Seahawks to beat the San Francisco 49ers in two weekends. And that's the way that the New Orleans Saints will have the number one seed and home field advantage for this year's playoffs. Great night last night in New Orleans. The Saints signed someone late yesterday afternoon, and it's fairly controversial. They signed a defensive back named Janoris Jenkins, who was cut by the Giants. Do you know why they cut him? He was cut by the Giants because he called a fan on Twitter a retard. And you're not allowed to call anybody that anymore. That's the R word, as far as people who have mental difficulties or who struggle with mental problems.
Right.
It's not like when we were younger when you could say, "Hey, you retard! You're not allowed to call people."
Well, you weren't allowed to then. I mean, it was not the best the best choice of words. Sure. Many of us did it in grade school, junior high, or whatever. But I just can't imagine any scenario where a professional athlete responds to a fan in that way.
A fan on Twitter,
right,
was ripping his play, And so he said something, and then he called him a retard. So the Giants then went to Janoris Jenkins and said, "Hey, dude, you gotta apologize. You can't say that."
Right.
Janoris Jenkins refused. He said, "That's how we talk in the hood," and they cut him. So the Saints just hired a player. They just signed a player that refers to people in the year 2019 as retards publicly, and then he refused to apologize for it.
And by the way, the rest of his baggage just arrived at the airport.
This is the second year in a row the Saints, late in the season, have got a New York Giants cast off. Now, remember, you're talking about one of the worst teams in football. This guy, last year it was Eli Apple, and how are Saints fans liking Eli Apple right now? He's horrible. And they signed Janoris Jenkins, who calls people retard, and he won't apologize for it. Again, that's the R word. When the Giants cut him 2 days ago, in the first paragraph it said they cut him because he called a fan the R word and wouldn't apologize. I had to look up what the R word was. I didn't know. If you hadn't heard that, or if no one was talking about that, and you're reading a story about why a guy got cut from a football team, and the story said he referred to a fan as the R word, right off the bat, would you know what that was?
Well, absolutely, because we use that in stories where it's relevant to, like this one, I guess, in stories where it's relevant to make the point about what was said, but without saying it, that's...
I started thinking R-word, what, body parts, rectum? What did he call them?
We've used that on the show before.
It took me a minute.
I don't like to use it. I don't.
So, and I know probably the majority of Saints fans, they don't care. All Saints fans care about, can the guy play? Can he play cornerback?
Well, or is this some sort of a trade package that they have? That they're thinking about packaging him with someone. I mean, I don't know. I don't understand how the cap works and guaranteed salaries and all that. Well, I mean, is he designed to ever put on a Saints uniform?
Absolutely. They could use that.
I don't know. Other than what we're talking about, I don't know that much about this guy.
He's
31.
They could use help in their defensive backfield. Again, Eli Apple gets picked on. Because they're not going to throw to the other side, Lattimore. They're not going to throw his way. So quarterbacks, they pick on Eli Apple, and so Janoris Jenkins has just been signed. If you're listening right now, I mean, do you care about the whole him calling a fan a retard or not? Because that's why he got cut. It's the only reason he got cut. Because they said you got to apologize for this. You can't call people that. It's 2019. He said no. That's how I talk. How do you feel about that if you're a Saints fan? Do you not care about that as long as he can cover someone on the outside?
Or before he puts on a Saints uniform, do you think he should apologize?
He won't.
Now I'm asking those who can text us at 260-9595. Standard data and message rates apply. I mean, that's what I want to know. Would it make it better if he apologizes? And before he's welcomed into the Saints fold.
He doesn't have to apologize to Saints fans. It was a Giant fan he called a retard.
No, I understand that, John. I'm using hypotheticals and a scenario to see what everyone thinks.
Well, let us know how you feel about that. Send us a text, and please don't text while you drive. Coming up on the show, a recent Miss America just admitted how she met her spouse. You're not going to believe this. Miss America, that's coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So as Saints fans revel in last night's historic night here in New Orleans with Drew Brees breaking Peyton Manning's record for the most touchdown passes in NFL history. And by the way, Drew Brees also completed 29 out of 30 passes last night. That was an NFL record for pass completion percentage in one game. But right before the game, they signed a defensive back named Janoris Jenkins, who was cut by the Giants. And the reason why the Giants cut him is because he called a fan who criticized him on Twitter, he called him a retard. And then the Giants said, look, it's 2019. You can't call people the R word anymore. You have to apologize. He said, no, I'm not apologizing. This is how we talk. And he was cut. And I'm asking you, is that a big deal if you're a Saints fan?
And on text we have responses that will be separated by this sound. Well, it was a Giants fan, so I can understand his confusion. As long as he can play, I don't care that he said it or that he didn't apologize. Can you play some Ronnie James Dio? Okay, we'll get that right on for you.
Jump!
No, we've all used that word before. Y'all just used it like 5 times on the radio. And I will say, I mean, it's John's show, and John can say whatever he wants. But I would not keep saying the word. That's just me. There's nothing wrong with saying.
I didn't call anybody that.
No, you didn't. But I mean, I'm sensitive to it, and I think others are as well. So if he was called the N word and he demanded an apology, it would be okay not to give one because of where that person was from. Ridiculous. I don't feel he should apologize. People are too soft these days. And people need to toughen up. If one word offends you, then you really need to rethink your priorities. But again, don't miss the point here that it's an organization. The New York Giants cannot look to be soft on issues like this, just like we talked about the alleged white power hand signal that was given by someone behind an African-American field reporter at Wrigley Field. It's just there's too much at stake with these multi-billion dollar corporations. On Jenkins calling the fan the R word, I don't think it's that big of a deal. The fan probably said something ridiculous. If he can play, let him play. I'd rather him call someone an R word once than kneel for the national anthem, says Jacob. And one more here right now. This world is too sensitive now. If a fan can say what they want with no consequences, then the players can do the same. End of the day, it's just a word. There's no physical harm. And they finish by saying, who dat?
Well, you know, and thank you for the texts. We appreciate them. Look, this happened on Twitter. Fans can say pretty much whatever they want, right? I mean, if a guy screws up, can't you say, hey, you screwed up, and you go to Twitter, and that's what happened. And then Janoris Jenkins called the fan the R word.
But yet we talk all the time, and I thought you were on the side that came down that said there are certain professions that don't get to play with the same toys in the sandbox as everyone else in the world of social media.
They should be above that.
Professional athletes, exactly. Professional athlete is one of those that you can't, you just, you're part of an organization, and it's a reflection on them. And did I mention that it's a multi-billion-dollar corporation?
Yeah, and you, the player, makes millions of dollars. And our last texter said, "Look, if a fan can call a player a name, or if he could go rip a player, go up one side of him and down the other, why can't the player do the same?" Well, because he's the player.
What if you have
that's why he's the multimillionaire player who should be above that.
But to confront him and he won't even apologize when confronted with the situation is even more troublesome. I'm going to use Special Olympics or some sort of a night that honors both those who are less fortunate and those who help them. And you're going to have him stand there on the sidelines? And it's too creepy. It's too creepy for me.
Well, when they cut him from the Giants, people said Janoris Jenkins just doesn't get it. Quote, unquote, he just doesn't get it.
Well, I think
you cannot call someone the R word in the year 2019.
Well, not only that, but to say, hey, that's how we talk. That's a cop-out. That is not a legitimate argument. I don't think he has a leg to stand on.
Well, he's standing on them with the New Orleans Saints right now.
We'll see.
Coming up on the show, yesterday during our show, there was an explosion in the French Quarter. The crap really hit the fan yesterday. We'll explain what caused that coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show on a great Tuesday morning here in New Orleans after Drew Brees breaks the record for the most touchdown passes ever thrown in the history of the NFL. And did you see his wife and his kids were in one of the suites last night, and they kept showing in the suite, and there were a few other blonde women that were sitting behind Brittany Brees. Who does anybody know?
Ixnay.
Who were those blonde women?
I don't know.
Man, that's the suite I would want to sit in last night over there at the Superdome. But, boy, it feels good this morning. And, again, that's not the only record Drew Brees broke last night. He completed 29 out of his 30 passes. And that's an NFL record. No one's ever done that before. And good stuff. Hey, speaking of attractive women, I just read this story about how Miss America 2016 met her husband. This is incredible. Her name's Betty Maxwell. I think that's pretty incredible, too, that Miss America in 2016, her first name is Betty. Nobody calls themselves Betty anymore.
Very rare.
It's one of those old American women names like Ruth.
And Bertha.
Myrtle. Ethel.
Myrtle.
Names like that. But Miss America 2016, she's from Georgia. She was Miss Georgia. Her name's Betty Maxwell. Do you know how she met her husband?
On Bumble.
Close.
On Tinder.
Tinder! Betty Maxwell met her husband, Spencer, on Tinder. She said, quote, "You never think you're going to meet the love of your life, your soulmate, on Tinder, but God has a plan. At that time in my life, there was no way I would have been able to meet someone out and about. It just wasn't going to happen. I was too busy with school and getting ready for competing in pageants. I was completely not in the dating scene at that point in my life." Could you imagine that? Now, this was before because she won Miss America when she was 21 years old, 3 years ago in 2016. So she met this guy before that. But could you imagine going on Tinder and finding a Miss America contestant, let alone the woman who actually won Miss America? You just met Miss America on Tinder.
Not Tinder. Maybe plenty of fish, but not Tinder.
Hmm. Yeah, she's obviously she was Miss America in 2016. She's beautiful, but I wonder how many other. Just wondering. I wonder how many other women that maybe could be, you know, Miss Georgia, Miss Louisiana, Miss Tennessee, whatever the case may be. And perhaps even Miss America are sitting out there on Plenty of Fish or Tinder.
Well, I said that facetiously.
Isn't that something? And by the way, he's a cop.
Really? Because the picture of him I'm looking at is, he looks like
a rock star.
Yeah,
he's got long hair.
Yeah, he looks like young Josh, who does our traffic.
You don't see
and our weekend guy.
You don't see too many cops rocking the long hair like that. But that's what she said.
Hey, maybe he's undercover.
It just goes to show you, just when you thought you'd never see something like that. How about that? Somebody met Miss America on Tinder.
It happens.
All right, coming up on the show, got to get to the story about the explosion that happened yesterday in the French Quarter. A bathroom blew up. It really did hit the fan, and we'll tell you what happened coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So during our show yesterday, there was an explosion in the French Quarter. We didn't know what was happening. They said a bathroom
blew up. There was an explosion in around a toilet in a bathroom, and people were saying it wasn't a bunch of crap that really happened.
Because when I first saw it, it said something about a manhole cover. And then the show ended, and I didn't really follow after that.
It started somewhere, and the manhole cover blew up. It hit the fan yesterday.
Mm.
Now they're saying methane gas could be the cause behind the explosion in the French Quarter yesterday morning. From a city sewer line, methane gas was sparked and exploded. So it wasn't someone sitting on a toilet. And the manhole then blew up.
It wasn't the rats making themselves a pizza at a particular establishment in the French Quarter.
No, it wasn't that either. So it looks like it was methane gas and just a Monday morning explosion in the French Quarter.
Yeah.
Coming up next, we will look at today in history. We call the segment "Why Today Doesn't Suck." Suck is next. Here on Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning, it's the John Osterlin Morning Show. Time now for us to look at today in history, and on this show we call the segment,
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
December 17th. It was today in 1903.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The first airplane flew. The Wright brothers, Orville and Wilbur, make the first successful flight in history right near Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, on a self-propelled, heavier-than-air aircraft. The thing went up for 12 seconds, and it covered 120 feet on its inaugural flight.
It's like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
Did you know Orville and Wilbur Wright had older brothers who went to college? And Orville and Wilbur did not attend college?
I did not. That's going to be no on both counts. I know to the brothers and know that they went to college.
Yeah, how about that?
And know that the most famous of the brothers did not go to college, did not know that.
And in the big picture of things, 1903 wasn't that long ago. And now you look at people, how they complain about the littlest thing goes wrong on an airplane, you know, if they... You know, my Wi-Fi's not working. Or what do you mean I can't get more alcohol? It wasn't that long ago when they were just figuring that whole thing out.
Ironically, the movie on that flight was Air Buds. Remember that? Air Bud? Never mind.
December 17th. It was today in 1991.
Why today doesn't suck.
Boris Yeltsin announces the Soviet Union will cease to exist by New Year's Eve. How about that? The end of all of that. The Cold War. Very memorable. On December 17th.
Partially.
It was today in 2010.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
John Lennon's Abbey Road suit was sold at auction. It was the suit that he wore on the cover of the Abbey Road album when he, along with the other three Beatles, were walking across the famous crosswalk there,
yes,
on Abbey Road.
The white suit, which he wore with white tennis shoes or sneakers, as some call them. You know, one of the theories of that was how it fits into the rumors that Paul was dead. I think most people have heard about the Volkswagen that is featured on the cover of that album with a license plate 28IF, meaning Paul would have been 28 had he been alive for that actual photograph, because as you know, that was the Paul McCartney stand-in, William Campbell, who was actually in that photo. But the other theory about that, with the four Beatles, the way they were dressed, you have John in an all-white suit representing God or some other deity. You had Paul McCartney walking in a suit, kind of an ill-fitting suit, barefoot, and the theory there was that many corpses are actually buried in ill-fitting suits and buried without shoes. That's apparently in some customs. Ringo dressed a bit like a preacher or a man of the cloth, and then finally George with jeans and a denim shirt would be the gravedigger.
Well, that suit, 5 years before that auction, because the auction was in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
In 2005, that suit, the suit and blazer together, sold for $120,000.
Wow.
If you're a Beatles fan, something pretty cool to pretty cool to own. And December 17th. It was today in 1999.
Why today doesn't suck.
When an autograph hunter hands Keith Richards a guitar to sign outside of New York's Russian Tea Room restaurant, Keith Richards just walked off with the guitar. He didn't sign it. He basically just took it, and he got into the ride he was riding, and he left. And the victim opted not to press charges.
Isn't that something?
He said, I'm not going to press charges. It's Keith, man.
Keith looked at the guitar and said, this is nice. I'll have this.
How about that?
And off he went. It was on this day, December 17th. What a difference that 52 years makes. For it was on this date in 1967.
Why today doesn't suck.
Your New Orleans Saints defeat the Washington Redskins 30-14 to wind up the regular season with a 3-11 record. And believe it or not, at that time tying the record for most wins by a first-year expansion franchise. And look where those Saints are today.
How about that?
And a birthday today. I've got three birthdays. Paul Rogers, born on this date in 1949.
Why today doesn't suck.
And Mike Mills, bassist of R.E.M., born on this date in 1958. He's 61.
Why today doesn't suck.
And Pope Francis turns 83, born on this date in 1936.
Why today doesn't suck.
I think he's going to a strip club.
Happy birthday to Pope Francis. His holiness is attracting much larger crowds than Pope Benedict did.
Mm-hmm.
Fans are drawn to the Vatican by Francis's outgoing personality and by special promotions like Pope Francis Bobblehead Night.
Hmm. I believe you.
And that's a segment that we call
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
All right, coming up on the show, more on the historic night last night in the Superdome as Drew Brees broke not only Peyton Manning's all-time touchdown pass record, he broke another record too last night. Stick around here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Michigan family refuses to eat 141-year-old heirloom holiday fruitcake. A Michigan family will continue to preserve their 141-year-old fruitcake that survived under the tender care of numerous generations. Quote, it's a great thing, said Judy Ruttinger. It was a tradition. It's a legacy, she said of that fruitcake that was baked back in 1878 by her great-grandmother, Fidella Ford. And I'm looking at a picture of this woman, Julie Ruttinger, and she's holding up the fruitcake. And it's
with a shovel, right?
Is no, she's holding it in her hands.
Yeah.
It's 141 years old. I think fruitcakes are one of those things that used to be a lot more popular than they are today. I mean, you give someone a fruitcake, do you ever see them get very excited?
Well, there's only, in my opinion, there's only one edible fruitcake on planet Earth, and it comes from Corsicana, Texas. It is made by the Collins Street Bakery. This is the real deal. This is not the sickening, sweet, cakey, crumbly, cakey, sticky, cakey, dried sugary fruit. I mean, this is actually edible.
Well,
that wasn't a very good endorsement for them, the way I put it, but it's they're very good.
Back in 1878, Fidelia Ford kicked off that family's tradition by baking fruitcakes annually and letting them age for a year before the family consumed the treat during the holiday season. So evidently, fruitcakes are like Peeps, because if you open Peeps and you let them sit for a while, they get stale, and a lot of people think that they're better when they're stale. And they
really?
I guess the fruitcakes are kind of like that.
You know something that you may not even be familiar with this? I don't know. Are you familiar with mincemeat?
I've
a mincemeat pie? You've heard of it?
Yeah.
You've heard of it, but that's something like a fruitcake that is really, I mean, I don't know of anyone who serves mincemeat pie anymore. I'm not sure if it's big. I mean, it was when I was a kid up north.
Well, this fruitcake situation here was a big deal. It was a big tradition by this family in Michigan. It started in 1878, and like I said, every year kicked off the family tradition by baking fruitcakes. They'd let them sit,
right,
and then they'd eat them the next year. But that woman died before her last fruitcake could be eaten. So her family decided to hold on to it, because it was her last baked creation. And then they turned that fruitcake into a family heirloom. This woman, Julie Ruttinger, her father, watched over the fruitcake until he died in 2013. And so they've been taking care of that, keeping an eye on that fruitcake ever since. It's neat to see family tradition and to see family heirlooms, but fruitcake, I'm just...
I mean, I do know of stories where, as a joke, as a gag gift, somebody will send the same fruitcake back and forth. They'll send it, like I would send it to you one year as a joke. You would send the same fruitcake to the next year and just see how long it can keep going and how old it can get.
Yeah, this fruitcake...
But I wouldn't call it an heirloom.
This woman went on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno back in 2003 with this fruitcake.
Jay Leno.
And, she says, quote, there were a couple of health experts that were asked about this thing. Is it safe to keep a 141-year-old piece of fruitcake laying around the house?
I mean, really, would you even want to touch it, let alone eat it?
A biologist said, quote, the bacteria we need to worry about needs water to grow.
Mm.
There's not a lot of water that is available in fruitcake because it's all bound up by sugar. Now it's going to taste terrible, likely. But that's totally a different situation than bacteria, so they don't have to worry about the bacteria. 141-year-old fruitcake.
Now, if you're not familiar with mincemeat, it just take everything, the nastiness, the overly sweet fruit, the nuts that is in a fruitcake, and then picture like the little cubes of meat that's in like Campbell's Chunky Soup. Yes, I said meat. It's actually like beef, cooked beef, and suet. That is all mixed up in that same thing, and that would be mincemeat.
Mm. Coming up on the show, a historic night last night here in New Orleans in the Superdome. Drew Brees not only broke Peyton Manning's touchdown pass record in NFL history, he also broke another record last night, and the Saints signed someone. Pretty controversial signing, and we'll tell you why coming up. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. The morning after a historic night here in New Orleans in the Superdome as Drew Brees surpassed New Orleans native Peyton Manning, throwing the most touchdown passes in the history of the NFL. He now, 541 now? And Peyton Manning, 539. And Tom Brady, he's still playing up in New England. He's got 538, but he's not throwing them, as many of them as Drew Brees is. Not these days. And so you can add that record to Drew Brees' resume. He also has the most passing yards in the history of the NFL as well. And last night he broke another record by completing 29 out of his 30 passes. He threw for over 300 yards with those four touchdowns. You look at his numbers, 29 out of 30. It's like, who screwed up? It was an incomplete pass to Latavius Murray out of the backfield. But other than that, he would have been 30 for 30. So that was an NFL record. No quarterback has ever done that before. So what a night in New Orleans. And it was basically football practice. It wasn't even a game. And the Saints can still win home field advantage. They need a little bit of help. They have to win their last two games. And they need Minnesota to beat Green Bay this weekend. And they need Seattle to beat San Francisco in two weekends, in the final weekend of the NFL. Because, look, the Saints are good. They got a shot this year. But wouldn't it be much better playing a playoff game in the Superdome instead of, Green Bay, where it's below zero? That'd be pretty rough. So Saints still have a chance for home field advantage. What a great night last night. And
I wanted to ask you, because the Saints signed somebody yesterday afternoon. They signed a defensive back, a cornerback, which they desperately need. Because Marshawn Lattimore has things covered on one side of the field, but Eli Apple does not. And teams are going to pick on Eli Apple. We've been seeing that. And what's interesting is the Saints got Eli Apple last year when the Giants let him go. This year, the Giants just let go of a cornerback named Janoris Jenkins. And the reason why they cut him is because he called a Giants fan the R word on Twitter. A Giants fan was lighting him up on Twitter. And I guess Janoris Jenkins didn't like it. So he called him the R word, which you can't call people that anymore. And so when the Giants found, and he did this on Twitter. And when the Giants found out about this, they went to Janoris Jenkins and said, "Hey, you got to apologize. It's 2019. You can't call people the R word." And Janoris Jenkins said, "No, I'm not apologizing. That's where I'm from. That's how we talk."
And most likely,
and they cut him.
There's some sort of drop dead clause in his contract that et cetera. Whereas by the party of the first part. Statements or actions detrimental to the team. I'm sure that is probably the clause that was invoked.
And when
he could have just apologized and moved on.
He refused to apologize.
Right.
And I wonder if you're a Saints fan, does that bother you, or do all you care about, hey, can he cover somebody? Is he a good cornerback? Can he play? Can he help the Saints win a Super Bowl? Is that all that matters to you? I just wonder if the Saints do anything, let's say, with the Special Olympics.
Well, I'm sure they...
Are they going to have to... Is Janoris Jenkins going to be allowed to be there after calling a fan the R word?
Well, that would be beyond awkward, wouldn't it? I'm sure the Saints do. I mean, I don't have the list in front of me of their charitable organizations. I mean, just about every player has some sort of a charity or foundation. Many of them are for tax purposes, and there's nothing wrong with that because it does good all the way around. But you talk about awkward. If you do have some sort of an event... Probably not going to be on the field, probably not going to be in the Superdome, but some sort of a call to a hospital or facility or whatever. And it's you know, you can say, well, I'm a Saints fan. It doesn't matter as long as he can cover. Well, it's larger than that. What if you're the owner of this billion-dollar franchise like the New Orleans Saints, like the NFL, New York Football Giants? It is larger than that. You cannot, in 2019 in America... You cannot appear to be, and I've said this so many times on this show, you cannot appear to be soft on issues like this.
Well,
you've got to take a stand. Now, I do know that Janoris Jenkins made the point that, hey, that's my culture, that's how we talk. And we got a text earlier that addressed that. It says, unfortunately, he's correct. They do speak like that in the hood, where they call each other N-words and R-words and anything other in between. Just listen to any Lil Wayne song. Not only is it a disgrace, but also the best example of different standards of different classes, or four different classes. As Lil Wayne said in his song, Turn on the Lights, and I can't say any of this, but that's a whole generation growing up on those types of things. And the texter made the response that he or she thinks it's horrifying.
I don't know if culture is going to be a legitimate excuse here. They said Michael Vick, that was his culture when it came to dogfighting and how he treated dogs. That's the culture he grew up in.
That
doesn't fly with the rest of society.
Right. I don't think I've seen in the recent social media discussion about Michael Vick and whether or not he should be honored at this thing, this NFL thing where
he was going to be a captain or an honorary captain at the Pro Bowl.
Right. And I don't think I've seen one person come out in favor of that. In fact, the petition that I saw online at the last time had like 200,000 against or some ridiculous number.
I don't think.
And I don't think he should be either.
Either. We talked about that last week. You know,
right.
It's one thing. He did his time for his crime, but you don't need to celebrate him. The NFL does not need to celebrate him.
I could not have said it better.
By making him a captain. But if you're a Saints fan, does this bother you that you now have you signed a cornerback who called a fan the R word, and when he was asked to apologize, he said no, and so he was cut. And now the Saints picked him up, and there are some people that are upset that how could the Saints sign this guy that he doesn't get it in the year 2019? You just can't go around calling people the R word. Let us know how you feel about that if you want. Coming up on the show, social media really hurt Janoris Jenkins. Social media just took down a police chief because of something he did. We'll explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. I mentioned several times on this show how social media has ended people's careers. It's ended people's marriages. It's ended people's friendships because of things that they have said or done on social media. And we continue to see it. Within hours, social media scandals brought down two police chiefs in the state of Vermont. Burlington, Vermont. That's where the university is up there. Burlington Police Chief Brandon Del Pozo had to resign yesterday, days after he confessed to using a fake Twitter account to troll a resident who had been critical of his police department. Isn't that something? There's a lot of people that do that. A lot of famous people, and a lot of people that we don't know of, who will use a fake name on Twitter, a fake handle on Twitter, and then they'll be able to say things there that they wouldn't be able to say under their own name because of scrutiny, obviously. Well, the police chief ended up losing his job because of a fake Twitter account that he created to then go troll people who were critical of his department.
Is there zero crime in Burlington, Vermont? That he
pretty
has
much.
Has time for this? Is there really?
That's pretty.
You've got a lot of time. It's like Andy Griffith.
So then when he resigned, they named his deputy chief, Jan Wright, a woman, as acting police chief. But she had to step down hours after she admitted to running a bogus Facebook account under the name Lori Spicer, where she engaged in discussions of police department policies and practices. So that's two police chiefs, basically one day, taken down up there because of social media and them not doing it right. Coming up. Next, these two guys just got arrested because they were pulling off their own Netflix and Hulu services out of their own living room. We'll explain how they did it coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. You know, I bet you when you were younger, you remember recording albums onto blank cassette tapes. Most of us music fans did that when we were younger. And, you know, the music industry did not like that. The music industry thought that they were losing lots of money because people were recording albums that their friends or their family members bought, and they weren't going out and buying the album. Much like when the VCR became very popular, and the movie industry didn't like the VCR becoming very popular because they thought that they were going to lose out on money. People weren't going to go see movies in the movie theaters because they were just going to watch them on the video cassette recorder. Times have changed, obviously. I mean, you talk about that stuff now, people look at you, boy, you must be really old. Doesn't seem that long ago. Well, now streaming is how people get their entertainment, whether it's their video stuff, movies, television, or their music that they like. People stream.
And gaming is moving to is going to be exclusively streaming. You won't get a disc, you won't have a giant download. The next generation of like PlayStation 5 will just be a way that you're able to stream stream games.
Well,
Does that make sense?
The reason I brought this up is because two men just got they just admitted after they were arrested, and they admitted to working on illegal streaming sites that rivaled the size of Netflix and Hulu.
I'm going to take notes here, so just bear with me.
Well, I think you got to be a computer programmer.
Oh.
Two computer programmers in Las Vegas pleaded guilty this past Friday to criminal copyright charges after an FBI investigation revealed they had been working on two massive illegal online streaming sites. The websites were called Jetflix and I Stream It All. Those were the two sites that they had. As a matter of fact, I Stream It All's content library featured more than 118,000 television episodes and almost 11,000 movies, making that larger than Netflix, Hulu, or Amazon Prime.
So these Jetflix, I love that.
But these two computer programmers are probably looking at each other saying, we're smart.
They weren't smart enough to not get caught.
Yeah, we could do what Netflix does. You know, we could do what Hulu does and sites like that. And so they tried, but they got caught.
Right.
Both of their illegal streaming sites, Jetflix and I Stream It All, had tens of thousands of paid subscribers. So these people gave them money because they thought it's legitimate. It must be just like Netflix,
right,
or it must be just like these other streaming sites.
Now, I'll tell you how things like this start. If you have a DVD player or you have like a gaming device, whether it be a PlayStation or you have Xbox or something like that, there for many years has been, do I want to name one of the cable companies? Let's say you have XYZ Cable. And the box that comes into your home with that always has like a mysterious USB port. And even if you ask a technician, oh, that's just there for looks. That I have always wanted to know how. Let's say you are streaming a movie. I've always wanted to know how you could actually save that. So you could, I'm not talking about make money with it, but just to own it. And not have to go to Amazon Prime and spend whatever it is, $12.95, $14.95 for it. And these guys, that's the start of this. That's how they're able to do that. It has to be.
Well, they figured it out, and they were making lots of money, and but pirating is illegal.
And you shouldn't do it, kids, and stay in school.
And companies like Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon Prime, they pay a lot of money to have all of those movies and television shows,
sure,
on their service for us to pay them to watch.
Right.
And so, but these two computer programmers in Las Vegas, they wanted to do it on their own without getting those very pricey rights.
Right.
To have them, and they're going to, you know, this is a perfect example. These guys are obviously smart. You know, if they use their brains to do something legitimate.
Right. If they use their powers for good, like many wish I would.
But
look where we've come, like, in 25 years. The great Seinfeld episode where Kramer meets the guy who needs him to take a little Sony camcorder, handy cam, and film a movie so that he can pirate it and sell bootleg copies out on the street.
Mm.
Now, it's not a good copy. It's somebody sitting there shooting it so that no one knows. And 25 years later, we have someone who is smart enough to come up with JetFlix.
Using the same word, they're pirating.
Yeah,
but they're just doing it in a different way. But what they would do, because they're computer programmers, they would be able to scrape pirating sites from around the world,
right,
and then download all of that stuff to their sites, and then people would pay them to watch the movies and TV shows that they illegally got.
And the difference is, in that 25-year time span, is you're talking about a crappy analog recording. Like the episode on Seinfeld, these guys are trading in pristine copies of, you know, probably 4K in some cases of this material. May I have a moment here to issue an apology and a correction. A couple of weeks ago, we were talking on the show about how you should never borrow someone's USB cable, or you should never use a charging device in like an airport or a common place or some ballpark.
Yeah,
so
I was
have
talking about that because you could.
You said that there is technology now that someone could either steal your information or put something on your device of a virus type or some sort of a data mining thing. And I was like, you've got to be crazy, because once you pull that cable out from wherever you've connected, it can't get from the cable in. I will issue an apology, because it actually can happen. There are ways that you can, most notably, the way that you would go somewhere to a common place and charge something, there's a device or a gadget that can be monkeyed with that someone could get your information while you're charging your device. So I will say this. Brewster regrets this error. Only partially, but...
Thank you.
But yeah. I will admit that I was wrong in saying that it's completely out of left field.
Yeah, when I bring stuff up on the show like that, I usually try not to lie to people.
Right.
So
yes.
So be careful if you're in an airport or wherever and you're charging up your cell phone, because there are always people out there trying to scam information.
Yes.
Coming up, we will tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock. Oklahoma cheerleading coach admits she did sex with two students. A cheerleading coach in Oklahoma admitted to doing sex with two students, including steamy romps with the teenagers in her car on rural Oklahoma county roads. 29-year-old Brandy Lynn Foreman is facing four counts of sexual battery after one of the teens, ages 16 to 18, told investigators that he started doing sex with her after they traded nude photos on Snapchat. Again, when we see stories like this, I always wonder, and then Bruce always tells me, yes, Brewster, always says, yeah, I always wonder, have attractive female teachers always been doing sex with underage male students in high school?
You know, sex is nothing new. It's been happening practically since day two.
But I always thought it was the male teachers with the underage female students, and I think that's as wrong can be. Sure, double standard here, yeah, because I remember being a 16-year-old boy. I remember being a 17-year-old boy, and if there was an attractive female teacher that wanted to do sex with me, I would have been like, whew.
Did that ever happen?
No.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah.
No. I mean, I'm thinking of the school where I grew up. I can't think of any teachers that I wanted to do sex with. They're not looking like the teachers that we see these days, seemingly every other day.
I'm getting like a chill because I keep seeing my ninth grade math teacher, Miss Wilburn, who confiscated my squirt gun on the last day of school that year.
I remember my female gym teacher.
I think I cried.
Miss Hetty. I think she had more facial hair than I do. But the teachers, in my opinion, back then didn't look like they look these days, and maybe that's why we're seeing a lot more of the female teacher sex with the underage male. That and because of the internet.
But don't you agree that back then when we were going to school, I mean, female teachers in their 40s, we thought of being as like 70 or 80. I mean, it was like, I can only think of, most notably, I'll pare it down to one teacher, and that was Miss Clement in grade school. She was the PE teacher. And you just pray when we'd have inclement weather days, ironically, with Miss Clement, we would pray there'd be rain or snow up north so we could be inside. And there was this thing where it was like just like a giant silk round, I guess a parachute. Is a parachute round? But it was the thing where you just kind of did, and I'm going like this up and down with my arms. It's almost like the thing where you see firemen save someone out of a burning building. They'll jump down into that blanket or whatever.
Yeah.
So all the kids were around there doing that, and Miss Clement would be doing that. And it was almost slow motion, and it was she was quite gifted, shall we say. She was rather well endowed.
Yeah, when you're a young boy up and coming and you see something like that, that's life-changing.
And then there was Miss Wilburn.
All right, coming up next, we will tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And since it's 8:35, it's time for us to tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Man receives 6-month prison sentence for eating cookie without permission.
What is this, kindergarten?
When do you hear this? A San Francisco man. Okay, now this is the same city where they give drug addicts clean heroin syringes so they can shoot up heroin on the streets and they won't catch diseases. It's the same city where they let homeless people drop deuces, go to the bathroom.
All right, San Francisco. No, it's not that they let them. They can't stop them.
Well, a San Francisco man was sentenced to 6 months in jail, all because he ate a cookie without permission. 42-year-old Gregory Fields had been enrolled in a residential drug rehabilitation program at the Salvation Army Harbor Light Center there while he was on probation for a vandalism charge. That intensive program involves a 30-day detox and a 30-day blackout period in which people are not allowed to contact anybody in the outside world, including members of their family. Fields completed both phases of that program and continued to attend meetings at the Harbor Light Center. Everything was going fine until he decided to eat a leftover cookie while the organization was making lunches for homeless people. When staff members there at Harbor Light Center learned what he did, they asked him to leave the program. And then he had to contact his caseworker, and because he left the program, he would have to go to prison because he left the program.
Right.
So eating that cookie.
Does it say what kind of cookie it was?
It doesn't say here.
You know, I'm partial to snickerdoodles.
Those are good.
You know how when there are cookies and you're not really sure whether or not they're chocolate chip, and so you grab one hoping it to be chocolate chip, but it's actually like oatmeal raisin, and you go, ugh. I'm actually the person who's hoping for the oatmeal raisin.
I like
I'm completely unique in that. You like all cookies?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding?
Cookies are, have you had cookies? They're delicious.
As long as it's got the word cookie in it.
Yes.
You got me.
Yes.
So, this guy, who was at a rehab program, but then he did something he wasn't supposed to. He ate a cookie. Mm. He received a 6-month prison sentence for eating that cookie without permission. That's the dumbest thing I read all morning.
I believe you. And before that, we heard Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. If you would like to see the stadium tour, Def Leppard, Motley Crue, Poison, and Joan Jett, and the aforementioned Blackhearts, go to the website, Bayou957.com. Register for your chance to win not only tickets to see that show in Houston on July 15th, but we will throw in a $100 gas card for the trip over and possibly back. That's up to you. So go register now and good luck.
At Bayou957.com. Bayou95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Do you realize that Taysom Hill, the third-string quarterback of the New Orleans Saints, has more touchdown receptions this year than Odell Beckham Jr., who many people call the best wide receiver in the NFL?
I'm sure there are a lot of fantasy football players who are not only realizing that, but not too happy about it.
Realizes they wasted their high pick on Odell Beckham Jr.
Right.
I saw this story, and I just wanted to bring it up. Arizona father accused of killing man who tried to enter his teenage daughter's restroom stall gets an 8-year prison sentence. This man fatally beat a man who tried to follow his teenage daughter into a bathroom stall. And again, he was sentenced to 8 years in prison on Friday. His name is Melvin Harris. He's 41 years old. And he accepted a plea bargain deal on a manslaughter charge after initially facing murder, too. He was originally facing second-degree murder, but they gave him a plea deal on a manslaughter. He was waiting outside of a Quick Trip convenience store in Phoenix, Arizona, after arriving there to pick up his daughter and two of her friends. When his daughter came out of the store, she told them that a suspect, later identified as Leon Armstrong, had tried to enter her bathroom stall inside the convenience store's restroom. And so Melvin Harris asked a store security guard to handle the situation, or he said, if you don't handle it, I'm going to handle it myself. And then that's when he got into it with Leon Armstrong. And he punched, kicked, and stomped on him. And he killed him. It's sad that this guy is getting 8 years in prison for doing what pretty much most fathers would either do themselves or want to do themselves if some scumbag went into a convenience store bathroom stall where their daughter was. So every so often we see stories, and you could always say, there was no justice there. Well, there was justice there. Well, there was no justice there. This one, I don't think there was much justice. And again, he agreed to a plea bargain, so I don't this didn't go in front of a jury, because I think if this went in front of a jury, I don't know if they would get 12 people to vote one way to convict this guy. So the guy ended up taking the plea deal, and he's got to do 8 years in prison. All right. Coming up next on the show, it's our commercial-free ride, and we're going to talk more about last night's history-breaking night for Drew Brees. And he didn't only break one record. It wasn't just Peyton Manning's touchdown pass record that he broke. He broke another record last night. The Saints looked fantastic. They still have a chance at home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And Michael Thomas is now very close to breaking a record for the most catches caught in a season. Stay tuned for that coming up here on Bayou 95.7.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity? Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media? Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.